Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. We are 1 week from the beginning of the Nashville Predators season. And to help us talk more about that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our buddy Alex Doherty from the Tennessean, who covers the Nashville Predators. Alex, good morning. How we doing?
I'm great. Good morning. It's been a while.
Been a minute.
Long summer.
It has been a long summer. I got Alex fully into golf last week, watching the Ryder Cup, and then Team USA totally let out a dud. So,
oh wow.
Oh man. Yeah.
Were you swearing at European players' family members, Alex?
No, but yeah, Robbie got me into the Ryder Cup, and then I had to watch that disappointment. That was thank you for that, Robbie.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
No problem.
The lesson there is don't watch golf ever.
Don't listen to Rex Road. He's a hater. So we begin on the Predators front. Brady Martin is still hanging around at training camp, still playing in a significant role at training camp. And, Alex, I'm trying to read the tea leaves here, but it looks like he's going to make the opening night roster. I mean, I guess there's still some time between now and then to see what happens on that front. And, obviously, there's the Luke Evangelista situation, which we'll get into here in just a few minutes. But what have you made of Brady Martin to this point in camp, and is he going to start the year with the big club?
Yeah, it is. It's pretty interesting to watch. This forward selection, you know, process is going to be really interesting. You know, the defense is basically set. I mean, the only question is Molenbeek going to make the team, which we can talk about that. But the defense part of it is pretty easy. The forward side, you know, you've basically got 10 forwards. 11, if you count Evangelista, who are locks to make the team. I mean, these are the guys that are going to be on the team no matter what. So that leaves one, you know, roster spot, you know, starting roster spot open, and then one, you know, scratch, you know, flex position kind of open there, too. You think they're probably going to have 13 forwards to start the season. Well, Brady Martin, as you said, has been participating on the top line, or at least near the top line, with Philip Forsberg and Ryan O'Reilly for quite a while. For a while there, it was Matthew Wood, but now he's injured, so he won't make the team, at least not as a healthy player just yet. So, I mean, there's no reason that they would keep putting Martin and Forsberg and O'Reilly together if they weren't going to try it, right? I mean, like to waste this much of training, or not waste, but to have this much of training camp go on with Martin in such a prominent role. And then to just at the last minute switch it and say, you know what, we'll just put Marchessault there without having any, you know, time with that unit working together again. So, at this point, I would say more likely than not, Brady Martin is at least on the opening night roster and gets his debut in. But as we know, he can play up to 9 games before they have to make the decision of whether to keep him here. They also just made a move. I don't know if you saw this, but they just picked up Tyson Jost off of waivers. So that complicates things further. I'm not really sure what Barry Trotz is doing there. He just thought, hey, why not throw another player out there and see how that works? But I think right now, if I had to bet, Brady Martin is on this team on October 9th against the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Okay. So based on what you're seeing from him, does he belong to the extent that you would also bet that he would be on the roster beyond the 9 games?
I do not see a guy that I think is just like a difference maker right away. I don't watch him out there and say, oh, this guy needs to play right away. He's going to be scoring goals. He's going to be making he's going to turn this team around. I don't see that. But I do see a guy that can play in the NHL right now. I mean, I think he can play. He's got a lot of skill. He's got enough speed to keep up. Now this is all in preseason. This is all in training camp. So like when he goes up against, you know, their first 2 games are not that bad, but then they go right into playing, you know, teams like Toronto and Winnipeg. How is he going to do against those kind of teams? You know, like Columbus and Utah are good, but Toronto and Winnipeg are better. So that'll be a good test. I just think like they want to see if this kid, you know, can play right away. I don't know if Barry thinks it's like a way to get some juice in the team, get some fire, get some interest, or if it's literally they think he's going to be a, you know, an immediate impact player. I would say, just as confident as I am that he makes the opening night roster, I kind of don't think they're going to keep him around the whole season. I think he gets 7-8 games, and then he goes back to the OHL. So, I don't know. I didn't. A lot of people didn't think he would get it this far, so I could be wrong there as well.
So, Alex, it's pretty surprising to me that the Evangelista situation has drug out as long as it has here. I mean, I figured by the time camp rolled around, maybe a day or two into camp, they'd get something figured out. They have not. So he remains unsigned. How surprised are you by that? And I guess, do you sense any end in sight to this saga between Evangelista and the Predators?
The negotiations are not good right now. That's all I know, is that things are not progressing. It's frustrating because I don't think the difference in money is that big. I mean, I think it's something like $1 million difference. I mean, it's like that close. And I think the term is probably 2 years. I think it's like one side, the Predators are at like 2 years and $2 million or somewhere around there. And the other side is 2 years and three and a half, somewhere in there. I don't think that either side is budging. I think that you can place blame wherever you want, but I wrote in the Tennessean about how I think this is a bad look for Nashville because I just don't think that they're in any position to brush aside offense right now. Yes, Evangelista was not good. He had a terrible, terrible year scoring, scored only 10 goals.
Get in line.
What's that?
He can get in line with everybody else last year that was not good.
Exactly. There were terrible years all up and down the roster. Right. Exactly. So was he the cause of all that? I don't think so. Was he part of it? Yeah, he definitely was. So, I mean, but again, they don't have any wiggle room to say, well, we don't need that much offense. We don't have to add this guy to the mix, but yeah, you do. You need as much options out there that can possibly go out and have a good year offensively as you can get. And, you know, they acquired Eric Halla, who scored 11 goals for the New Jersey Devils last year, and he has a $3.1 million cap hit, something around what I think Evangelista would deserve. And Eric Halla is 34. You know, Evangelista is 23. So the math doesn't add up. I don't understand why it's taken this long. I mean, at this point, I don't see that he's going to be on the opening night roster. I mean, that he's going to be, you know, playing in the first game at least. You know, if they signed him today, he would need at least a week to get going, right? And he would need at least some practice time and to get up to speed. I mean, he's already probably going to miss in the first couple games, and who knows how long this goes.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they just want him to be more of a jerk. Is that the difference? Well, he can't get himself older, but, you know, be more of a jerk.
If we could get an interview with him, maybe he's out there thinking, I don't know, we might be ass.
Maybe so.
Or you will be ass without me. No, that's to me, it's like that little difference. You need him, right? You need him if you're the Preds.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, well, you stole. Yeah, Go ahead.
Well, no, yeah, exactly. Like they are the 31st ranked offense last year. I mean, almost last in the league. And one of their most promising young players, who is an offensive player, they're just not having in camp. And I don't understand it. It would be one thing if the guy just didn't offer anything and had no skills whatsoever. But we know the guy has skills.
Or had an outrageous demand, which it's not.
Exactly. Or if it was a crazy high ask. Right, exactly. So I think it's a bad look. And by the way, this is just kind of an interesting aside. You know who Luke Evangelista's agent is also an agent for? Connor McDavid.
Yep.
So any hope of Connor McDavid landing in Nashville probably going out the window along with this as well. So
that's a very fair point. And also, like, Luke, can you please stop taking his attention away from Connor? Like, he's like, you know, totally consumed with the Evangelista situation. I'm sure. You stole my question earlier. Is Tanner Mullendike making this team?
You know, he's made a late push for it because he had the injury. He missed a couple weeks. They just waived Andreas Englund, So that was a and also, by the way, Jordan Osterley. So like the two players that were blocking his way that didn't make any sense why they were on the team to me anyways was Andreas Englund and Jordan Osterley. They're now out of the picture. He would be the eighth defenseman right now, and that's with Nick Hague on IR. So yeah. With Nick Hague injured, and by the way, Nick Hague's not on IR yet. He can't go until the season starts, but I think he will. With Nick Hague injured, I think it's very possible. And I think, you know, it's between him and Spencer Stastny. Does Stastny start in Milwaukee or does he start here? And same thing with Nick Blankenberg. Is Nick Blankenberg on the team? So I think there's a pretty good chance. Yeah. And if he's up here, he's going to play. So, it depends on whether they find a spot on the, you know, the bottom pairing for him. Would it be, you know, Stastny and Molendijk? Would it be Blankenberg and Molendijk? What does that look like? Because Willsby's probably going to play on the top pairing with Yossi while Hague is out. So I think there's a good chance that he is on the team to start, yeah.
Alex, last thing for you here. You know, obviously there's going to be so much attention on Andrew Brunette early into the season here. And I think a lot of Predators fans are going to want to know and want to see, all right, what's different from last year to this year? You know, some of it may just be line combinations. Some of it may be, you know, chemistry with teammates that have just taken a long time to get going. But as you've watched them play, as you've watched them practice, have you been able to pick up on this point maybe a couple of things that they're trying to emphasize that are different from last year to this year in the way that they're trying to attack?
You know, I don't – this is probably not going to make Predators fans feel great, but I don't know that I noticed any difference in the way they're practicing. I think it looks very similar. The way Brunette is coaching the guys, the way that everything is kind of interacting. I will say that off the ice, talking to Brunette, I think he's you know, changed some things. I think he's going to approach, you know, how to hold players accountable a little differently. But you know, we won't really see that until the season starts, right? So when there's a player like last year with Marchessault who has moments of not playing the way he should, what happens? Does he just, you know, talk about it in the media, or does he actually reduce his ice time? So like, I think we'll just have to wait and see, but in terms of the practice and that kind of side of it, I don't see much difference at all. I think it looks very similar, and I think that's okay because I don't think he wants to change too much, but I think we'll have to wait and see how he treats, you know, in the heat of battle, how does he react when so-and-so is, you know, not playing well or gets penalties or is giving up goals or whatever. So that will be interesting to see. I think Brunette is aware of the situation. He knows what's ahead of him. He knows that they need a hot start. They can't go 0-5. They need to at least have a good start to the season in order for him to just keep his job.
Well, Alex, we're looking forward to it, man. 1 week from today, we drop the puck and get things going. Thanks so much for being with us this morning, and we will talk to you soon, my friend.
Thanks a lot. Take it easy.
Alex Doherty does a great job covering the Nashville Predators for the Tennessean. We will react to what Alex had to say, and we will also get into some Vanderbilt and Alabama discussion, including some more trash talk from a person that we have come to expect some trash talk from. And let me tell you, I love it. We'll get more of it coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
What the hell happened to you guys against Vanderbilt?
Man, they played a better football game than us this game. We came out slow, and they capitalized. They held the ball. They had their game plan, and they executed.
What do you say to your team when you got Vanderbilt this year coming into Tuscaloosa?
Man, going into this game, it's you know, we don't call them revenge games. So we're going to kill an ant with a sledgehammer this year. So, I mean, just every game that we you know, fell short last year, we definitely got red eyes going into them.
Going to kill an ant with a sledgehammer. That was Ryan Williams, Alabama wide receiver, a few months ago with John Gruden. We talked about that at the time. Some interesting comments from Ryan Williams. And now we finally arrived at game week.
The ant is crawling its way to Tuscaloosa.
It's there in Tuscaloosa. We have arrived at game week between Vanderbilt and Alabama. An undefeated Vanderbilt taking on Alabama and a College Game Day matchup as well. So trash talk has been no stranger in this rivalry. We heard some there from Ryan Williams. Diego Pavia has been very willing to speak his mind to this point in the season and in the offseason leading up to all this. And there was a story that came out at On3 Sports about Diego Pavia and everything going on with him. Obviously, he's getting a lot of attention right now, deservedly so. We talked about him on the show the other day, Joe, in terms of, like, if you're having the Heisman conversation right now in early October, like, he's got to be included in it at this point. And by the way, what an opportunity from him on that regard to go in on Saturday and really make some noise on that front. Here's a quote from Diego Pavia on the expectations from this On3 story of their matchup against Alabama. Quote, "I don't know what they're doing. I just focus on us, but I know we've got to bring it, that's for sure. The crowd, I think, is going to be a big factor in the game. But we just got to play within the white lines. If we do that, if we play our game, it won't be close." That is what Diego Pavia had to say on the Alabama matchup. Joe, what do you make of that heading into this one? If we do that, if we play our game, it won't be close, baby, against Alabama.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that was given to CeeLo, Chris Lowe of On3. And, man, between that and it's like you got the ant and the sledgehammer over here. You got, no, we're not just going to win. We're going to blow them out over here. I wrote something today, and I cited that quote, and I was like, what if we could mic him up on the field?
Oh, man.
Like, this is what I wrote. Like, you shall not record a tackle today, yelling to the Alabama defense. You will never tackle any of us. We will score on every play. It's like, my goodness. And then you got the, by the way, you know, a lot of that story that Chris Lowe wrote was the, it was really, the story was about Diego and Johnny Manziel being like best friends. It's like, ooh. Now, I give Johnny credit. He's like, I'm trying to mentor him and tell him not to do stuff I did. And one of his quotes was, "Don't get lost in the sauce."
Yep, that's good advice.
Don't do dumb that hurt the team.
I would also say maybe don't hang out with Johnny Manziel, but what do I know, man? You know, these kids these days.
Johnny,
you know,
has turned over a new leaf.
Yeah, and I mean, he is, like, I've confirmed he will be on that sideline Saturday, by the way. So, I mean, it's going to be wild, man. It's going to be wild. He's going to be down there with his Pavia jersey on. You know the cameras are going to find him like 20
in
times.
In Alabama, huh? Yeah. On the sideline. Yeah. Oh, man. Alabama, he's going to get it hard.
But you know what? For all the stuff. Oh, yeah. But for all the stuff with Johnny Manziel that happened in the NFL, hey, that dude. He went in there and kicked their butt. So, like, he kind of, right? Like, they kind of can't say anything to him. It's like, hey, man. So he's hoping that Pavia will do the same thing. Look, Pavia all summer, he's talking national championship and fine bombs, like, you know. I mean, like, and we were like, man, maybe just, I don't know, tone it down a little, like, you know. But I don't know. They're 5-0. I didn't think they'd be 5-0 right now. I thought it'd be way earlier than this that we'd be saying, okay, can we stop the national championship talk? And, you know, it's one of those things that you figure at some point maybe it costs you or it gets the other side all jacked up. But all the guy does is back things up. So I guess whatever.
That's why I have no problem with it.
It's just so different for Vanderbilt. And so maybe it's like making up for decades of, like, I will never say a word because we're going to lose 30-0. Now, remember, we did have the pre-Bama.
Oh, we did.
That Big Joe got on the field. That, you know, Nick Saban said. I mean, Nick Saban on Saturday and game day, he's going to say, I'm glad he said that. I'm glad they're going to use that, you know. But he also said that about Castellanos of Florida State, who kicked Alabama's butt after talking that trash and then sold T-shirts afterward because he talked the trash. So who knows?
I have no problem with it. Like, Pavia clearly has not been afraid to speak his mind. And to your point, I mean, all he's done is back it up to this point. Now, look, I think this is a big challenge for Vanderbilt. Like, on the road at Alabama, Alabama's playing well. Alabama's coming off a huge win against Georgia. Their offense looks competent. Their defense looks like it's just not totally lost like it looked like in week one against Florida State. Now, I will say, as we talked about the other day, I still look at Bama's defense. It's like, well, you might be able to run the ball on them. Like, Georgia ran the ball really well.
Well, and they got linebacker issues. Yeah. One out for a half, one done for the. So they, you know, they're banged up.
Yeah. So I'm not saying Vanderbilt can't go in there and have offensive success. But, I mean, they're a 10.5-point dog in this game for a reason, right? Right. Like, you're on the road at Alabama. It's a huge challenge. But it's also not like Alabama or like Vanderbilt doesn't have Alabama's attention in this game. So, like, Diego Pavia saying this stuff, I don't think it's going to add, like, What? We weren't paying attention to Vanderbilt, but now the quarterback's talking, so we are now. It's like, well,
yeah.
If Alabama wasn't paying attention to Vanderbilt before that, they got some problems.
Absolutely. And all the Alabama talk this week, and remember that that loss here was right after that huge win over Georgia. The, yep. You know, the ridiculous Ryan Williams play and all that stuff. So, you know, that's also been brought up. And really, if you listen to Ty Simpson and Kalen DeBoer this week, they both have talked about how, yeah, last year, you know, the Simpson quote was, we're not going to make the same mistake again. Now, of course, he wasn't playing, but and he said that. And DeBoer was asked if, you know, if last year, if they basically overlooked him. He's like, well, I'm not going to argue with that. So, in a much more subtle way, Alabama's also talking trash, like basically dismissing the loss last year. Like, yeah, you know, we didn't take
See, that bothers
seriously.
Me, too, though, when people do that. Like, you may have overlooked him a little bit, but by the time, you know, the second half rolls around and you're yeah. getting your butt kicked, you right. probably stop overlooking him at that point.
Exactly.
You just got your butt kicked. It's okay.
Yeah. They took the lead. They got the tip pick, which gave them that separation. They punched you in the mouth. You came back and took the lead, and they came back and beat you. So at some point, I assume they had your attention last yeah. year, right?
Yeah. I would hope.
I mean, this is Vanderbilt has not won at Alabama since 1984. And again, this is Vanderbilt's second game day appearance ever. And I never would have guessed, seriously, never, that Vanderbilt would be the road team for game day.
No.
But like you said, there is a big spread. I mean, I don't think Diego Pavia is going to be upset if they win by a point Saturday.
No. Like,
yeah, we should have blown them out, but, you know, I guess we'll take it. Whatever. I mean, it's a fascinating game. I mean, I can't wait. I think Vanderbilt's path is a huge final score. The way on the over needs a hit heavily, and because their offense can't be stopped, because their defense. I still have skepticism about Vanderbilt's defense.
615-737-1025. Is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on Diego Pavia talking some trash before the Alabama game. We'll take your thoughts on the matchup as well between Vanderbilt and Alabama. We got the Rex Rant coming up at 745. Charles Robinson ahead at 8 o'clock. We'll get into the Titans and all things NFL with him. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Are you wondering where to go watch NFL games this Sunday? Come to Twin Peaks in Madison, home of the 29-degree beer, and join 102.5 The Game for the pregame show before the Titans take on the Cardinals. Pregame show brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Tennessee Brew Works. And speaking of Vanderbilt, Alabama, Commodores taking on Alabama on Saturday, the pregame at 1 o'clock on 94.9 The Fan, kickoff at 2:30. Vanderbilt football brought to you by Gary Force Acura, Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse, and Smoky Mountain Tops. Taking your thoughts on the Vanderbilt-Alabama matchup and Diego Pavia talking some trash heading into the matchup. Says, quote, if we do that, if we play within the white lines, we play our game. It won't be close. It won't be close between Vanderbilt and Alabama. Now, I will say, this does set up, if they go in there and win, this sets up for some all-time Pavia trash talk after the game. Like, if they win the game, I'm sure Clark Lee will be excited, and that's great. I don't want to hear from Clark Lee in the immediate on-the-field interview after the game, with all due respect. Get over there to Diego Pavia immediately, if you're the broadcast crew, and talk to him.
What about Diego and Johnny Football together?
That would be sick.
A joint presser. Clark, actually, we don't need you for the post-game press yep. conference. We're going to bring in Johnny Manziel instead, and he and Diego will – my goodness.
They're both at the podium together.
Can you imagine? What was it last year when they beat him? What was it? He was – we're farting turnt, right? Yeah. Was that Diego?
Yeah. Yeah, the goalpost going down Broadway right now.
Oh, my goodness.
I walked out of Bridgestone Arena after a preseason game. I was like, huh, look, goalpost over there. How about that?
So I got a texter on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyIowa.com, 615-737-1025. Robbie's making me mind the text line.
I am.
Says, when I was at Vanderbilt in the late 80s, we were so bad that toward the end of the game, which we would inevitably lose, we would chant, that's all right, that's okay, you're going to work for us one day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it.
It's pretty good.
I love it.
Times have changed around there.
No, I got into this a little bit as I continue to shamelessly plug my own writing, but I was talking to Barton Simmons this week, GM And, you know, trying to get, you know, it's like you always, whenever you talk to, like, GMs or ADs, you know, I talked to Candace Lee, too. Okay, so how much money do you have? You know, how's it going? Like, where do you rank in the, all this stuff? You know, and, of course, I mean, no one has a spreadsheet of here's what all the SEC teams are paying everybody, right? But they all try to figure it out with market value and, you know, just trying to, it's just a little bit of reading tea leaves. You know, agents can, you know, you can kind of have a feel for it. And look, I think the bottom line is, like, Vanderbilt is absolutely in there. They are in the fight. And obviously we're seeing that. But also, so, you know, the big thing with Vanderbilt, and this is years in the making, the administration, as we've talked about, they fully support it. Any successful college football program or failed college football program, I promise you that the conversation at some point gets to either we have alignment from president down or we didn't have alignment and that's why it didn't work. They have alignment. And alignment at Vanderbilt, like it was non-existent for a century. So this admissions meeting, you know, every year football program, you know, all football program, they have been meetings with university admissions people. And a lot of times it's formality stuff. But, you know, there's also obviously that sometimes you have players you want to get in. You know, like there's all these. And look, let's face it, university admissions meetings with Vanderbilt football before the last few years probably weren't like awesome moments.
Probably not.
At this one, the university people were like, we're doing like international outreach stuff to student international, and they're like bringing up the Alabama win. But like students, like the football last year is bringing more interest in people coming to Vanderbilt.
Yeah, it's amazing how that works.
Well, right. And now, but this is the way people at Vanderbilt on the university side have thought. It's like, no, we're an elite academic. We don't. No, man, sports matters.
Which is
even
what,
to
which
people,
is
even
what
to those
Vanderbilt
people.
Fans have been screaming about right. for decades.
Exactly. And so again, you know, credit. I mean, Chancellor Daniel Diermeier, AD Candace Story Lee. And then down from there, it's pretty amazing. And so if you're a Vanderbilt fan, you got to enjoy the heck out of this. And yet I still think you're going 8-4, and you're probably going to lose by double figures on Saturday. I'm sorry. Am I a hater?
Jeez, that was an about face right there. Well, it's an absolute heel turn.
Yeah, like it is awesome. It is great. And I really hope that we are talking about Vanderbilt. I mean, look, how amazing would it be for us, for this entire state, if Vanderbilt, Tennessee – has playoff implications for both teams.
I am here for it.
And I think it's way more possible now than I did a few weeks ago because LSU could come in here and lose. And at the beginning of the year, I'm like, yeah, it's not going to go
Vandy's
well.
Schedule is tough, though.
Oh, it's
right.
Very tough.
But LSU looked way harder than it does now.
Right.
Texas? I mean, I don't think they're going to win at Texas, but Texas is not good. At the beginning of the year.
Debatable.
At the beginning of the year, I would have picked Texas to beat Vanderbilt by 3 touchdowns. I don't know. You know, and then after that, you've got, I mean, Missouri does look good. Auburn, I mean, they could
lose
all
those games. There's
not a
game on their schedule that's impossible.
Exactly. And before the year, I would have picked Bama, LSU, and Texas as 3 games. There's just no freaking way.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I could make the case, well, it's harder now because what Alabama did last week. But I could make the case that the toughest game on their schedule is at Tennessee.
Yeah.
Left because they don't seem to, they have not matched up with that offense well. So, but anyway, yes, it's a little bit of a hate, but I think we both think that there's some reality coming. If there's not reality coming,
or if the reality is different than what we think it is, yeah.
Well, yeah, if there's not, I mean, it's a great year for it because my God, we can talk less about we ass and more about.
I need Diego to
you
come
good,
up.
Yeah, Danny.
Exactly. Come up with something after the game on Saturday.
Well, whatever Diego Pavia's slogan is after this, after they beat Bama by 14, you know, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
Or Eli from Smyrna says Joe is the biggest hater. Again, I'm not. Am I being
GB Joe, baby? Yeah.
Am I being influenced by the front of the jersey by history? I've watched Vanderbilt all year. I think their offense is going to do stuff Saturday. I really do. And their defensive numbers are fine. And they had a dominant second half at Virginia Tech. The quarterback getting hurt against South Carolina, you got to kind of keep that in mind. I just think Alabama and Ryan Williams, by the way, Mr. Sledgehammer and the Ant. You know, all he's hearing about is how he's not living up to. He's made some mistakes this year.
He's lazy.
Yeah, he's had some rough reps that people have called out.
Yeah.
you know, that's the kind of thing where it's like, at some point he's going to have like a 10 catch 200 yard game, right? Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, I think it's a big Clark Lee week from the standpoint of, number one, like everybody knows it's a huge game. So can your team handle that? But that defensive staff, can you come up with something that slows Alabama down? Like, can you come up with something that keeps you in the game that way? Because look, it's a 2:30 game, college game day's there. You know, like I said, it's got the big game feel to it. Bryant Denny is going to be rocking on Saturday. So can you handle that if you're them and hang in there through that? Like, I think the start of the game is huge. Like, do you come in there and just get absolutely overwhelmed early on? Or do you hang around and make it a game heading into halftime where you start to create a little bit of doubt? Like, I think that's the big key in the game on Saturday.
I do too. I mean, look, you're going to have to – I think Alabama has the potential this year to still have one of the best offenses in college football. I do. Ty Simpson is like
– he's good.
It's kind of cool to see a five-star go to – and I know Tennessee fan, you know, wanted Ty Simpson and other programs, but it's kind of cool to see a guy go in, not be very good early, you know, and then people are like, oh, my God, Ty Simpson. It's like, yeah, he's a freshman, and Saban threw him in some game against South Florida. And to see him develop over years, and yeah, that's what it's supposed to be. That's how it's supposed to work. They got a chance to be really good. So yeah, can Vanderbilt tip a pass, you know, at the line? I mean, just find a few three and outs, find a few punts in this game defensively. And if so, then I think they have a chance.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Alabama offensively last week against Georgia was one step ahead of Kirby Smart the whole time. Like, I thought the whole game they were one step ahead of, and it kind of felt like they were just anticipating what Georgia was going to do. Like, the third down call to end the game last week was just brilliant.
Yes.
Like, it was beautiful for Alabama. So, like, it's a big challenge for Clark Lee and that staff this week to figure something out defensively to steal you a possession or two. I think that's really what it is. Can you steal a couple of possessions there?
Yeah, you got to rip the ball out here. Again, tip a pass and pick it. And you need some stuff like that. Yeah, last year, that tip pass from Milroe was huge. Then you get separation right away, and now you put the pressure on them. I agree. This is a game that the longer it goes, where it's like, oh, no, this isn't just going to be some Bama revenge romp, then it gets tight. But to your point on Bama and last week, you know, I think – there's an example of, like, why Kellen DeBoer got the job. And the reason that he took Washington to the national championship is because he's a creative offensive coach.
For sure.
And, you know, he knows how to put together a passing game. And so he's got some pretty good personnel to run it.
He does. Now, the moment so far under Kellen DeBoer, the moment you start to feel good about everything they're doing is when they just dud.
Yeah.
Like, they just – so can you avoid that?
And,
on Saturday?
And it's the defense that has let them down. And I think it's trash talk from Pavia, and we all have fun with it and all that. But, like, I don't doubt that he's looking at film of Bama's defense and saying, dude, we can do stuff against these guys.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think they can.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We've got the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. We'll take your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Charles Robinson, our buddy from Yahoo Sports, with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
We are losing our minds, okay?
Did you try to kick an 85-yard field goal with Joey Sly out there?
Yeah, who is this shit doing? Yeah.
I'm a great interviewer, as he said.
You ass.
You can ask me anything you want to ask me, Joe, but...
You ass. Why the fart were they booing me? Yeah, it's your door. His dad played, right? He played in the NFL? I think so.
Cleveland rocks. Cleveland rocks.
It is that time of the day, the Rex Rant, brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Rise up to better health. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net.
Oh, boy. How many times do I respond to that with who, boy? So many different terrible accents I try out.
Makes me nervous every time.
Yeah, I know. I know. Ian is a funny mother farter, isn't he?
Yep. It's just continued to just make my heart drop every time.
Yes. So, well, it's fitting because we're going to talk about Cleveland. Can I just jump in here, though, real quick with Lester on the text side, driven by WilsonKynan.com. He says, Joe cracks me up. Talking about Vandy doing well, talking them up, blah, blah, blah. Then he pulls off his Hulk Hogan yellow Hulkamania shirt underneath his NWO heel shirt. You're going to finish 8-4, you jabronis.
It did kind of go that way.
I'm sorry. Prove me wrong. You know what? 8-4 is great.
Yeah. I mean, what was their preseason win total? 4.5?
Exactly. 8-4 would be awesome. I hope I'm wrong. You know, I mean, I think they absolutely, I could be wrong.
You're going to piss off some Vandy fans. There's
well, no doubt. I'm sorry. You know, there you go. Just providing some motivation. So today I got to talk about, you know, every once in a while I catch a stray here on this here text line, by the way. You know, someone would be like, well, why don't you make an excuse for Shador, Joe? So, which is not fair. Look, I do still believe that Shador Sanders as a prospect was the best prospect in this draft. Not a number one pick overall prospect, but he was my favorite prospect because I value accuracy. And his on-target throw numbers were the best and better than would have been the best in other years, by the way. Other flaws, all that stuff. But I'm just saying, I liked him as a prospect. I also think some of the criticism for him was overboard. And I think there's just a lot of it goes into his dad and all that stuff. I got no more defense after this stuff yesterday. I mean, it's just, and someone needs to help him because he's just not helping himself. I'm watching Dylan Gabriel start for the Cleveland Browns, and it's like, I'm sorry, I fully and firmly believe Shador Sanders is better than him, and I think in the preseason we saw that. I think you saw like Shador Sanders can play. I hope he gets a chance, you know, to start in the NFL someday. I think he's an intriguing developmental prospect. But like this, if anybody didn't see it, he was asked all these questions yesterday in the locker room. I can't play anything for you other than the video because he didn't actually verbally answer questions. He mouthed his answers silently so that there would be no quotes.
Like he was a mime.
Yes. Yes. And he didn't do like this.
No hand sign.
Yeah, he didn't do the, you know.
Although that could be coming
soon. I'm trapped in glass. Look, everybody. But he just kept – I mean, I could read the lips, and I think he actually was answering the questions. It was like they were trying to do the most the most softball question. It was like, how's Joe? Has Joe been a good mentor? And, you know, and you could see him mouthing, Joe's been great. But it's just like, help the kid. First of all, I think his dad – because I do blame his dad. You know, his dad's one of the two best athletes in my lifetime. American athletes, in my opinion. I mean,
did you really rank yourself over Deion Sanders? Wow. How about that?
Well, I said 20. I didn't say he wasn't first. I mean, well, let me say teams were. I mean, because actually, Simone Biles would be the best. So, three. Biles, Bo Jackson, and Deion Sanders. So, he can do whatever he wants, and he always did. And that's great. That's Deion. Some of the advice or lack of advice or whatever that has gone through the whole – clearly – the way he fell, and we talked about this before. I mean, like, this is criticism for him. Clearly, he screwed this up. The process and some teams hated him, and we've gone through, they're telling teams not to draft. Like, it's just been a complete botching, which should never happen if your dad has gone through the NFL and knows all these people in the NFL. Like, how could you screw it up that bad? Like, how?
I don't know.
So I have to blame his dad. But, like, what he did yesterday is such an unserious move, and just it really reflects poorly on him. And I'm done defending him is basically what
I'm
saying.
Well, and people are saying, you know, I guess Rex Ryan got on ESPN and was talking about Shador Sanders and how, you know, basically that he's trash and that some of the things he says, you're talking about a third string quarterback and all these different things. So people are saying that was like Shador Sanders' response of like, if people are going to talk about things I say, I'm just not going to say anything. But like when you're the third string quarterback and number one, people are interviewing you anyway, which is just amazing to me, but I understand why, because it's Shador Sanders.
Yes.
Like you have to have some professionalism to you. You can't get up there and just start miming like you've lost your mind in there. And again, like,
you know, part of it's kind of funny because if that's his response to the criticism in Rex Ryan, like, it's kind of funny. He's like, oh, you think you're going to take things I say and use against me? Well, I'm just not going to say things. But it just kind of goes into exactly, like, people are wondering why he doesn't play. Well, this is why. Like, this is why he didn't play. Because, and this is why he fell in the draft. Because people don't want the circus. And that's what this is. It's a circus. Like, if you don't feel like he was good enough to be your starting quarterback, why would you sign up for this? And that's why he fell in the draft. And, look, I think he's probably going to get his shot at some point this year because I'm with you. I don't know that I have high expectations for Dylan Gabriel. But, I mean, it kind of shows you that, number one, they drafted Dylan Gabriel ahead of him. And number two, like, there's just a lot of nonsense that goes on with him. And I just think at that position, at the NFL level, there's not very much of a nonsense quota that you put up with. Like, the job's hard enough on its own, and you make it harder doing all this stuff. So I don't think it's going to end very well for Shedeur Sanders. I don't.
Yeah. Be a pro. It's just be a pro. That is a huge part of it. Every day, be a professional. What he did yesterday is completely unprofessional.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of being a pro. And so I know some people look at him and say, well, who cares, some reporters, and he's having fun with them. But again, this is now brought, like, we all saw it. Everybody sees it because it's ridiculous. And so you have just declared, I don't care about those reporters. I mean, they got some great video of a guy miming, okay? They got eyeballs on their stuff that you never would have imagined. But, no, the point is that you are declaring to everybody else, I'm not a professional. Well, it's bad.
The draft part of this, too, like, here's the other thing. Like, it's – but you just fell in the draft to the fifth round.
And you're not a fifth-round player.
And you're not a fifth-round player. Like, I don't think he's that good, but I never thought he was a fifth-round player.
He's a second. So, he should have been second round for sure.
So what did you learn from it? And when you start doing stuff like this, the answer is, like, oh, nothing. Like, right. You didn't learn anything from it.
Yeah, and so – and maybe I'm not putting enough on him and I'm putting too much on people he listens to, but, like, someone in his orbit needs to be like, what? Come on. Like, you can't do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Texter says, Jackson Dart was the best, Joe. Admit it. By the way, Jackson Dart this week said the moon landing was fake. So good to know. We got some real brainiacs in this rookie QB class. I prefer Cam Ward just saying we asked.
He was being for real?
Apparently.
That's not good.
No, it's not good. That's not good at all.
I didn't see that.
That's a tough look, Giants. Good luck, though.
I mean, first off, Jackson Dart's played one game. Can we slow down a little bit?
Yeah.
Like, we don't know who the best quarterback is right now.
No.
In this draft class.
Not even – I mean, even Charles is like, man, look at Jack. I'm like, okay. I mean, he had some great runs. Also, keep running the ball like that and let me know when Jackson Dart is inactive this year. But maybe he doesn't believe in injuries or doctors.
I need to go find that. I didn't see it. 615-737-1025. Is our phone number. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and all things NFL. DVD with Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan will be live at the all-new Circa Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday. Prior to the Monday Night Football game, head up there, watch the Chiefs and the Jags, plus ask about Circa's giveaway of a trip to Las Vegas for the Titans-Raiders game coming up later this month. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.